This is Boomer in the Morning with Rhett and Ryan on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
It's hour number two of the program. Make sure you grab the podcast. We go hour by hour. You missed the start of the show? My alarm goes off at 7:15. All right, we'll download hour one. Come along for the ride.
Yeah, before we get tired and lazy, get hour one into you.
How are you doing with no coffee? Did you get... Because there's no coffee in the building, right?
Well, we...
Okay. Our guest hotline is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Come on in, enjoy hockey and football game day special, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
How do I tell the truth without
getting
fired?
The truth? Pickup and delivery is also available. It's Atlas Pizza, 403-248-3344. We continue on. It's Boomer along with Pinder and Rhett Warner here on a Friday. Good Friday to you. We will talk to... George Russick and Kirk Muller, both very important people.
One's a degen.
Coming up in hour number three, but right now from an undisclosed location. We were told it was coming, and maybe he could spill the beans, but from somewhere out there, our own Stephen Brunt. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Yeah, no, we don't have to. We can disclose now.
Okay, so
we're allowed.
Let's tease the boys a little bit. Are you getting less sleep this morning or more sleep?
Well, because I have stayed on my own time zone, so that's early to bed, early to rise. But it is very dark and early where I am. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Ryan, yes. This is a place that you are very fond of. I think you took your soon-to-be fiancé wife there on a little getaway. You love the they have a soccer team and many, many breweries.
Dude, he said same time zone. He can't be in Portland.
Well, I think he did his... He's staying on his sleep schedule.
Oh, I see what's happening.
Correct.
Portland's unreal. Crazy city.
Yeah.
When it's not burning.
Most cities better not burning,
yes.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes.
A valid point.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but that is true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you in Portland, Oregon?
I am in Portland, Oregon to begin my next of many book projects, but I'm working with Christine Sinclair on her book.
There it is. Very nice.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah,
right
cool.
On.
Truly a Canadian sports legend. That is awesome.
And while we're on the topic really quickly, Steph LeBay just announced she's going to retire at the end of the season. Wanted to mention that yesterday, but the connection went sideways on me. We didn't get to that. She, of course, the grinning menace to the, what was it, the Swedes in the final of the Olympics, in the gold medal game. She's a star, Canadian icon, so tip of the cap to her, Calgarian.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, no, she's a great career. I was talking to Sink about it. They kind of knew this. It's not a huge shock to them on the team that she was going to step aside. But Christine said that also this week confirmed she's going to play through the next World Cup at least.
Whoa.
So she's going to keep going.
Unreal.
Yeah.
And that's not a small commitment, right? When you throw that out there and you go public and you're the face of the program, you are all in. You need to devote a lot of time, effort, money, sleep, training to that. That's a huge commitment.
I think we don't acknowledge that enough sometimes with sports, where we generally think of sports as places where people get rich, where they make a huge amount of money, and if they go to the Olympics, if NHL players go to the Olympics, yes, it's their dream, and boy, they the middle of the season, they'd have to fly to China and all of that stuff. But they come back to being well paid, very highly paid professional entertainer athletes, and it's not like that for most of the Olympic sports. And Christine's been on the Sink's been on the women's national team since she was 16 years old.
Man.
So that's a lot of years. That's a lot of travel. That's a lot of missed things at home. You don't get wildly compensated for playing for Canada, playing soccer for Canada. It probably costs you money in the end. So yeah, I think all of the people who do that. I know we would all dream of being Olympians and being elite athletes, but yeah, there's a lot of less glamorous parts to that, and there's a lot given up in order to do it.
Australia, New Zealand co-hosting the next one. That sounds like a good trip. Get on that beat. Go.
I would, that would be awesome. Make sure you got your shots before you go, though.
Yeah, that's right. So when you dive into a project like this, obviously, and we've talked about this, I can't imagine the pressure that is placed upon you to tell somebody else's story and do it accurately and convey the emotion and the ups and the downs and all of that. So how do you very literally start something like this? Is it a phone conversation? Do you get face-to-face? What do you do to get things going?
Well, you know, ideally you do as much face-to-face as you can, because that's the way to, you know, that's the better way to communicate with somebody. And, you know, a lot of the job is listening and, you know, kind of making the person feel comfortable telling their story, because, you know, it's their version of their story. It's you. You are the, you know, you're channeling them. It's not me imposing something or a framework on it. I've got to draw it out. So it's different for every person you work with. Like, you know, like I've just, you know, sort of wrapped up the second Jordan Tutu book, for instance. You know, we talked about the, you know, when I was working on the first one, and, you know, and that's, you know, the first time around with him, you know, was, I ended up in Nunavut and, you know, really had to kind of get to a place where he was, you know, he felt safe and trusting to tell some pretty rough parts of his life. You know, and now the two of us know each other well enough that, you know, we can do a lot of it on the phone and we can kind of pick up where we left off. We're friends. But if it's somebody you haven't worked with before, and, you know, I know Christine from interviewing her, but interviewing somebody as a journalist is completely different. And the process from their end is completely different because, you know, if you're being interviewed by a reporter, you're kind of on guard, even if it's a, you know, a very nice reporter like me, you're kind of trying to say what you need to say, but not say anything more than that. Whereas, you know, with a book, when it's your book, you know, everything that winds up on the page, you have control of, so you don't have to worry, you know, you don't have to worry about, somebody misquoting you or somebody misinterpreting what you say, but you have to give a lot more too. So it's a very different process than being a journalist writing one of these books. And you're kind of confidant, therapist, you know, but you have to build trust. And that's, you know, that's different with every person.
We'll move on a little bit. I didn't expect to get major baseball news yesterday as it pertains to our country, but it blindsided a lot of people, even those involved, as there will be no Major League Baseball in Montreal. MLB basically put that to bed. What went wrong? How did we get to this point where now the Rays are in Tampa for the foreseeable future and Montreal is a spectator again?
Well, I think the Rob Manfred's fingerprints are all over this one. And look, it wasn't, you know, it still had a ways to go, that plan. It, you know, it had to be, so baseball's executive council were the ones who in theory rejected this. But, you know, if they'd approved it, you would still have to negotiate with the Players Association because of the players of the Rays would have to split their year between the two cities and, you know, have to come up to an agreement as to how that was going to work, and, you know, kind of what would be in it for the players. So there were some hurdles to clear, but, you know, the deal between the Montreal guys, you know, Steven Bronfman and company, and Stu Sternberg, who owns the Rays, like, that deal was done. Like, they have a deal, you know, it's not a handshake. It is, they have a very detailed agreement, and the stadium project in Montreal was, you know, very close to being approved, and you know, that and Sternberg's plan for a smaller outdoor, you know, stadium in Tampa in Ybor City was coming along. So a lot of the, you know, I think in the end baseball just couldn't wrap their heads around it. Like the you know, what you picked up yesterday was the fact that Stu Sternberg and the Montreal guys didn't, like, they had the rug pulled out from them yesterday. Like, they didn't know this was about to happen. And they had been given assurances, I believe, that the commissioner was on side with the plan. So there's no plan B, like, on either side. You know, like, there's no plan B for moving a team to Montreal full time. There's no plan B to get a stadium built. I mean, trying to get a stadium built in Tampa, a new stadium for 20 years. So both guys, you know, if you kind of sense the tone of maybe betrayal in those quotes and what you heard from them yesterday, that's exactly how they're feeling.
So why would the two parties not talk about a move to Montreal full-time if the stadium project might have legs in Montreal and there's clearly some cash there as well? Because they've been trying for the new stadium in Tampa forever, and it feels like that's not going to happen.
Well, that's true, yeah. But the problem in Montreal is that, you know, that the economics of it, to build a stadium with a retractable roof, which is what you would have to do if you're going to go there full time, because you can't play outdoors in Montreal in April. I know they did in Jerry Park back in the day, but it doesn't work. So it's twice as much. It's literally twice, cost twice as much to build that stadium. So the economics of it changed completely. And, you know, part of the attraction of this was that the stadium itself, you know, would not, on either side, would not be wildly expensive. And, you know, it was more expensive than a lot of things, but not, like, the math worked. And it worked with, you know, an inventory of, you know, 40 odd home games. They could make that work with that. So I think the idea of, you know, going back to the drawing board and trying to build a stadium in Montreal that would accommodate a team for a whole season, I just don't think it's there. Like, I think they were walking a pretty fine line anyway. So I don't think that's there. And then you're right, in Tampa, you know, we go down there for spring training, you know, normal years every year. I've been listening to talk radio in Tampa speculating about stadium projects for, you know, since the, you know, the Jays were winning World Series, essentially. Like, it's not quite that long, but you know what I mean? It's been, you know, every county down there has been tapped to, you know, for money, and they've all said no. The reason this kind of really radical idea emerged was because, you know, Sternberg didn't want to sell the team, didn't want to completely abandon Tampa, but didn't have an alternative. And, you know, now it's gone. So I think both sides are just kind of, I think the Montreal guys are just going to have to walk away. And I don't know what Sternberg's going to do.
And interestingly, like, from Manfred's perspective, boy, why would you allow that to happen when you could just charge a massive relocation fee and or an expansion fee? But you're just saying that's off the table for Montreal. They're just going to be a threat now for MLB to use?
I don't even think that, you know, I know Steve Bromfen, who's, you know, the full disclosure, is a friend of mine. You know, he said yesterday that, you know, hey, they've got my phone number. They know where to find me. But I don't think, you know, no, I don't think they want to pay a relocation fee and then build a stadium. I just don't think the money's there to do it. I think you would sink yourself so deep before you first pitch. I'm not sure it would ever work. And yeah, baseball's talking about expansion, sort of. But, you know, to be honest, there aren't that many other markets. It's, you know, everybody wants to be in Las Vegas. So there's that. You know, there is a Nashville group that, you know, Dave Dombrowski was involved with for a little while.
Austin, but,
you know,
Portland.
Beyond that,
I've been Florida.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, but they have. But, you know, none of those are slam dunks.
Right.
And, you know, the economics of baseball are, you know, it's different than, you know, if you buy an NFL team, you kind of, you know, the national broadcast, you're paying an enormous amount of money, but the national broadcast revenue is there. You know what it's where it's headed. Like, baseball as a sport and as a business is kind of in flux right now. And I don't know what baseball expansion would even look like now. It's been a long time, but, you know, it's a big commitment, no salary cap, and a lot of ticket inventory, which, you know, honestly, it's not, you know, teams are looking, you know, you see that Oakland maybe are getting a stadium built finally. You know, they're trying to build a 30,000 seat stadium because people don't want 40 or 50,000 seats in.
I watched your hit on Sportsnet with Carly Agro last night, and I could feel the pain for you was tangible. This is an emotional thing for you.
Yeah, well, again, as full disclosure, I've got a buddy who I think just got, you know, shafted yesterday, so I feel badly for him personally. But I love going to baseball games in Montreal. I covered the Expos in their last years, and you know, a summer night, going to a ball game in Montreal, and the idea of a park that was, you know, walking distance from downtown, not that horrible park out in the East End, that horrible concrete monstrosity, but you know, an open air ballpark on a summer night in Montreal, and then, you know, and then stumbling back to Crescent Street or Saint Denis or wherever you would go, like that sounds pretty good to me. And people always get, you know, there's kind of this sense that the Expo died a terrible death and no one cared, etc. But you know, there are a whole bunch of things that happened there. And when baseball was good in Montreal, it was really good. So, yeah, I think it's an opportunity lost. I think, you know, I never thought I'd see baseball back in Montreal. But in the last year or so, I really did believe we would. And, you know, so the dream dies. Yeah, it sucks.
Stephen Brunt is our guest here on Sportsnet 960. We got four games. So how much football? We don't have much football left. We have four games on Saturday, and then it's going to be two the weekend after that. And then there's an off week. And then there's one game. Ugh. Like, we're real. It's not good. I'm not. It's really not a feel good hit today, Stephen. I wish you'd have done a better job. But what I don't know if we got into it too much on Tuesday when we talked to you, but I'll start here. We talked to Dave Dickinson yesterday on the show. He's like, I just can't bet against Tom Brady. At some point, Tom Brady is going to lose to Father Time. I don't know that it's right now, but after the Rams completely dismantled Arizona and the Buccaneers kind of, I mean, they did the same, but it was to the Eagles. Can Sean McVay and that defense get to Tom and make life miserable and pull off an upset here?
I think they're built for it. Now, you know, whether they've been such a difficult team to get a handle on this year that, you know, like, yeah, they looked awesome last week. I'm not sure what they're going to look like this week, but, you know, how do you beat Tom Brady? You know, it's you know, it's hard to do, but it's actually pretty simple. You need to get a pass rush with your four guys. So you can't take chances. If you go crazy with blitzes and stuff, he's just going to pick you apart because he's a genius, you know, a football genius. So you have to get pressure with your four down linemen and then try and, you know, kind of max cover. And he, you know, look, Brady doesn't have, he's got Mike Evans, he's got Gronk. You know, he's a little short on weapons here, but we've seen him with New England over the years. Man, he was way shorter on weapons there and still managed to win stuff. But that's, yeah, so it all comes down to like Aaron Donald and his buddies, mm-hmm. who may be well be the best player in the league. And if Tom Brady is having to think about those guys, if his feet get a little, you know, you see him get a little uncomfortable in the pocket, if you frustrate him, you knock him down a few times, that's how you beat him. You know, like, and then, you know, and then ideally Matthew Stafford is good Matthew Stafford and doesn't throw four picks. But yeah, I think they've got a shot. I think somebody, I kind of feel like, you know, again, famous last words that, you know, like last year, kind of it all kind of fell into place for Brady. And, you know, they played their best game of the year on the last day of the year. But I wonder if, you know, we're just a little past, you know, he's a little past, you know, not past it physically, but that team, you know, there's kind of a cycle. And, you know, I kind of feel like maybe right now they're just a little past it. So I think, you know, somebody I think is going to knock him off. Now, you know, I don't know if that's the Rams. I think they're capable. You know, if it ends up being them and Green Bay, that, you know, that'll be fun. You know, but then I think Green Bay's got a challenge this weekend as well. So we'll see. But yeah, again, famous betting against Tom Brady is usually a bad idea. But yeah, I just that's kind of the feel I got right now. And, you know, and again, in part it's just because that team is so banged up.
Well, and that's, yeah, I mean, like you say, there's no Antonio Brown walking through that door. There's no Godwin walking through that door. You know what I mean? Like, they are beat up. Now, Red is being very quiet. I said this earlier in the week. He's very nervous. He does not have a good feel for his Buffalo Bills at all. They're going into Arrowhead. He's fearing that.
Are you talking about?
He's fearing the worst. This is Patrick Mahomes is going to flex his muscles and really show who the better quarterback is here. So that's the only reason why Rhett's been so quiet, is he's quite, he's on the edge of his seat. He's nervous.
Brad. There's no reason to be nervous at all, is there, Stephen?
I think it's going to be a football game, man.
You're the Bills whisperer. You called the Patriots stuff. You had no worries. And at the end of the day, there were no worries. They played a perfect, literally perfect offensive football game. So we'll go back to you now, soothsayer. What do you see with the Chiefs here at Arrowhead taking on this juggernaut Bills team?
Well, yeah, it's funny. They've had similar seasons. Although the Chiefs wobble came, you know, earlier in the year when they, you know, everybody said, oh, they're done, right? They're not that team anymore. They're past it. They figured them out. They can't throw the ball downfield anymore. Everybody's figured them out. And then by the end of the year, you know, the Chiefs figured it out. And you know, Patrick Mahomes has a lot of weapons to work with, and he's awesome. But I'll tell you something, you know, Bills team of destiny. They had their wobble. They lost 9-6 to Jacksonville. You know, they got steamrolled by the Colts. But you know, if they can run the ball the way they ran the ball, you just have an adequate running game. In addition to Josh Allen running the ball himself. So if you can get an adequate running game. Josh Allen can go, you know, I think he can, he's a very different quarterback than Mahomes, but you know, I think those guys, that's almost a push now with the two of them. You know, and then, so then it comes down to the Buffalo defense a bit, you know, and again, can you make Mahomes uncomfortable? Can you smother them a bit? You obviously don't want to give up the big play, but You know, like they, like the Chiefs are now capable of being really patient and, you know, the 12 play drive, dink and dunk down the field and winning that way. It's going to be tough. It's going to be a real challenge for that defense. But boy, yeah, watching the Bills last week, it's hard not to believe. So, yeah, I think the Bills, but I think it's going to be a classic, man. I think it's going to be a hell of a game.
And it can all be dashed real quick. But watching, because I remember we would come in after Bills losses and talk about, you know, Josh Allen didn't look like himself, and they got to get a run game and all of that. And you mentioned kind of the wobble that they have. They feel like now, especially for Allen, now it's what, year three, year four, that it's just natural. You have that maturation like he looks far more comfortable being the guy, knowing how much of the team's success or failure is on his shoulders. It does feel to me like they're poised to win this football game because Allen looks like he's ready to take that next step.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, again, you kind of talk about the cycles, you know, cycles of teams and cycles of careers. And, you know, the evolution of Josh Allen from his rookie year to now, but even over the course of this season. And, you know, like getting Stephon Diggs was, you know, that was a game changer for those guys. You know, their tight end has emerged as a really good football player, you know, a guy who we didn't, you know, really didn't talk about much at all.
Well, they didn't use him, right?
And they didn't use him.
Yeah,
but now
no
he's,
need to
you know,
talk
he's a touchdown
him.
Machine now, yeah. Right? It feels like it's like Josh Allen's moment. It really does. And you can sense the confidence the guy has. You combine the physical ability he has, which is tremendous, you know, great arm and obviously big, strong guy and he can run. But, you know, I think there's must be a moment for a guy, and God knows, I don't know what this would be like, but where you're looking down the field and you just see, you know, it all kind of looks like the X's and O's on the board, right? Where you know what's happening and you understand what you can do. And that's what he looks like to me right now. Like a guy that's, you know, he's got all the ability in the world, but he knows what's coming and knows what he can do. And that's, you know, you put those things together with him, that's pretty scary, you know, honestly, you know, because there aren't a lot of physical specimens like him in football. So, I think this is the coronation for him this year. And with two of the greatest quarterbacks in history, you know, and maybe Patrick Mahomes, you know, certainly will be acknowledged as one of those. But, you know, look at the quarterbacks who are still playing. What if he emerges as the guy this year, you know, in that among that group? I think so.
There, Rhett, you got to feel great. I mean,
I'm full
and you know
of
what?
Confidence.
And I don't even know if TV ratings matter. I don't even know how they track it or monitor it now with streaming and all of that. This is going to be a monster. I think you don't need to be a fan to be watching. I think the numbers are going to be huge because they were huge. They've been huge. The NFL's a beast, but I just think this one's going to be off the charts.
Well, and I think neutrals are going to get, you know, or if your team's already fallen by the wayside. And I know there are, you know, like, you know, the Pittsburgh fans aren't going to cheer for Buffalo or Cleveland fans. But I could see people getting behind, you know, given the Bills history and, you know, people kind of like the whole, you know, table smashing Bills mafia thing. But, you know, it's the second smallest market in the league. They could become everybody's sentimental favorite. You know, I can absolutely see it, you know, this being kind of a, you know, rally around the Bills thing for a lot of folks who, you know, wouldn't necessarily rally around somebody else. I mean, I may be wrong, but they're very, you know, it's a good story. Like, we all love a good story.
Now, I'm not sure what your flight itinerary is, but if you want to drop in, Rhett says we can start showing up on Saturday and just stay over and be
bring
there.
Bring your PJs. And have be a there. Sleep over.
So, I don't know. Can you, when you leave in
Portland? Man, I might have to alter my schedule slightly.
Yeah.
I'll make a nice pan scrambler on Sunday morning.
Oh, boy, that sounds good. You know, there's nothing better. For those of us from the East, you know, the idea of wake up football is one of the greatest things ever.
Oh, dude, you guys are screwed for sports in that time zone. It's brutal. You got to wait till 7? Are you kidding me? It's nonsense. Yeah, your team's out on the West Coast. Yeah, they'll finish up at about 1 a.m. What? That's ludicrous.
Yeah, it's terrible. We all should live further west. I'm going to be
watching. We don't want all of you, Stephen. You can come west.
You're welcome.
Selective people. Yeah.
Thank you for allowing me. Yeah. You'll stamp my passport. I appreciate it.
Pan scrambler, Stephen. We'll see you on Sunday.
Man. Okay, boys.
Sounds good. There he is, Stephen Brunt. Oh, out in Portland, writing the Warner Sinclair book.
in his undies and an apron cooking breakfast.
Brett, you do love a pan scramble.
I love pan scramble.
Makes him happy. It warms his heart.
It warms my heart when we're out for breakfast and he orders a pan scramble. Because I know how much it means to him and it makes him so happy.
The three of us sat down for breakfast a few months ago and he didn't even have to look at the menu. He knew exactly what he was doing. It was an incredibly professional move. And it was marvelous. It warmed your heart to see how happy it made him.
When we come back, we have some business to do. We need our show picks. There are four games. Ooh, do we have consensus? Yeah. Do we feel it? We'll take a look. If not, then we're not going to force it because we just we felt it last week. Went 3-0. We'll see how we do this week. And a little bit of Flames talk. Getting ready for this Oilers team. Is this a tricky spot? You feel like Oilers are wounded. They look broken, as Mark Spector said the other day.
They didn't look broken in the first last night.
Don't.
They did in the third.
You wouldn't want them to get back on track. Don't be the get-right spot for the Oilers. Big game, Battle of Alberta coming up on Saturday, and we'll talk about it next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary.
Hour two rolls on.
Yeah.
We'll get some NFL picks here. We'll talk Flames, all of it coming up. There's Ryan Pinder.
Oh, hey, Dean. How's
your week been? As we bring it in here, we're bringing all the...
I got to be honest, I want to lie down for a week.
Do you?
Yeah. I got to go get in the space suit and electrocute myself and grow some muscle. Let's go.
You're working out.
Get some sweat.
I work out. What about you, Retro?
What about me?
Well, how are you feeling about the week? It's a Friday. We're heading into the weekend.
I'm happy it's Friday. Yeah. I'm excited. We've had some... hiccups on our coaching staff. Yeah, I've got some heavy duties coming up over the weekend. I've got a lot on my plate, and the Bills are playing.
And we're coming over.
I got people coming over. I got to plan the meals. I got to get the enough hash browns for everybody, some sausage. I don't know if whether to go spicy or chorizo. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. Now, and I like bacon, but I don't want bacon in the pan scramble. I want that on the side crispy. Thank you very much. And I'm going to get some potato bread.
No one's going to question any of your decisions.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to force a peanut butter sandwich down your throat, too.
Oh, dear.
What's that?
A peanut butter.
A peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
How do we prepare that?
You don't.
Is it the butter on top?
You just prepare to be.
Wowed,
Yeah.
Okay, done.
Well, if it's a sandwich, just one side could be one could be the other. Squash them together.
Yeah,
no,
are we doing open faced? Are we?
No.
Are you crazy? Settle down.
So is it bread, then peanut butter, then butter?
I might get you all doped up first too, so that it really tastes good.
Doped up? What are you talking about?
Okay, sounds good.
I'll see you at 4.
If that's the case, then I guarantee you that peanut butter sandwich is going to be delicious.
Your kids want to babysit my kids? I can bring them. That's easy.
Yes, they want to. They love kids.
I'm coming. I'm bringing the boys.
Your kids will be. Oof.
Men, we have a wonderful prize package to give away. It is time for Boomer's Picks with Wild Rose Brewery. And what we're doing is we're kind of going through, it's kind of like a sports team. Well, now we'll talk about the goaltender. We'll talk about the top line center. We're going to talk about the third line winger. Everybody has a job. Everyone's got a role. And it's the same thing for the Wild Rose Brewery in their collection of beers. Today, it's the Velvet Fog.
Oh,
it was my first intro into the Wild Rose family.
And what a staple. Gem.
It's remained my favorite, although the Gosa.
Yeah, Gosa's good.
Smooth, cloudy, and citrusy. You know it, you love it. It's Velvet Fog, Wild Rose Brewery's flagship brew. Of course, named after one of the Wild Rose founder's favorite jazz artists, of course, Mel Torme. This Canadian light wheat golden ale is made with half wheat, half barley, and finishes smooth like velvet with a hint of refreshing, tangy citrus.
Might have had a couple last night.
A perfect year-round beverage for any craft enthusiast. Try it for yourself. Pick up a 4-pack today. Details online, wildrosebrewery.com. So here's what we got for you. We have a little trivia for you. Text it in at 960-960. Because people, you're streaming, you're listening as you go, we'll give you a little bit of time. You don't need to be the first one in, so don't panic. But coming up in hour three, we're going to talk to Kirk Muller, Calgary Flames assistant associate coach. Assistant part
coach.
Of the coaching staff.
Assistant coach.
Now, Kirk Muller, longtime NHLer, played 1,349 games. He was the second overall pick in 1984. The question is, who went number one? One selection before Kirk Muller at first overall in 1984. Give me that person's name. Text it in at 960-960. We'll pick one, yeah, that got it right, and you'll be a winner. Do you know what, Retro?
Tell me.
No, I can't tell you. Because
that's trivia.
It's the trivia
it's
question.
Worse than
well, you asked me a question. I meant...
No, I just asked you.
If I know the answer?
I just glazed over when I realized it wasn't beer trivia. I was very excited.
Yeah, I know you did. It's okay. I want to play a little bit of Daryl for you here quickly. Now, you knew it. As soon as the schedule came out the other day and it was locked in and here's what you're looking at, now he can sit down and look at it. Now here's where we're going to practice, and this is where we're going to travel, and this is what we're going to do, and this
practice.
This is going to be. He loves practice, Rhett. Loves it. Talks about the importance of practice.
It's important because we're not playing enough games, and you have to play at game pace. So our guys practice pace all the time, but the key with pace is the execution of it. Anybody can skate fast, but you have to be able to do it with the puck and make the next play, and that's where. When our game is dropped off, that's where it's when it's dropped off. We're not making the play to kill the play. We're not making the play to make the next play. So you have to be able to do it at game speed. And you know, we're just trying to keep them in that frame of mind, because once we play Saturday, come back home, play St. Louis, travel back-to-back, play home, and then we finish back-to-back. So you're not practicing. You're playing games and are flying. So we're just trying to keep it in get the players in a game situation mode so that gives them the best opportunity to excel at.
Got to practice at pace, but not just pace. Anybody can skate fast, Rhett. Anyone can do that. You got to make the plays at high speed.
That's not true.
Is it not?
No, but I understand what he's saying. Anyone can skate as fast as they can skate.
Yeah.
Let's put it there. That's better.
Yeah, there you go. And it's interesting, too. You kind of get a look into what his philosophy is and what his conversations with the team must be. And we've kind of had some fun with it. Ryan, you've been talking about the importance of don't look at the standings. Look at its points percentage. It's this the Flames are on the outside looking in today. Oh, they can't even get into a wild card. Well, if you
look before
at
the
it,
Vegas win last night in overtime, they were tied in points percentage.
Yeah, so it's
for tops in the division. That's a little more telling about where they're at. Now, look, there's lots of games left and things can change, but you want the snapshot of where they're at as opposed to the people they're competing with? That's go points percentage.
Daryl says, you guess and you listen to it. You know he's telling his players this. Don't focus on the standings.
You just look in our division. Well, if you're playing 600 hockey, if you do that over the course of the year, well, you're probably a playoff team. But right now they're saying, well, they're out of the playoffs, they're in the playoffs. Well, at this point of the season, having five or six games difference in games played, I think you have to look more at, and I'm being really honest about it, you have to look more at performance than where you're at. You understand that you want the players to get into a rhythm and to get pissed off when they lose and to feel good about their game when they win and remember it and take it into the next game. When you're a good team, that's what you do.
So don't, Mangiapane, don't be going in that room and looking at the board because they got the board up, Rhett. You know what it's like. You walk in, you look at the board.
It's in the gym. I know exactly where it is.
Right? And what do you see? You see now it's there's three teams in the Pacific, then there's two wildcard teams. And what? How are we not a playoff team? Hey, Mangiapane, smarten up, is what Daryl would say.
That's what he'd say.
Give your head a shake.
That's what he'd say to
Mangiapane. That's what he would say. He'd
are you
say,
kidding
hey.
Me? Hey, Mange.
Mange, smarten up. Be smarter.
Hey, Mange.
Is what he would say.
Smarten up.
And this also goes without saying, but the importance of divisional games, because it does not sound like Daryl wants to be messing around with wild cards.
You get 1, 2, 3, right? And I think that Vegas and Edmonton were the teams that should be 1 and 2. And then we're all fighting for that third spot. And you start screwing around with wild cards, then you're fooling around with the Central Division. And that's not what you want to do because of disparity in games. So I've said this lots to players about, I can explain that to the team because I've been on the wrong side of that. I've been on a team that's 15 games over 500 and missed it by 2 points. You're only guaranteed 1, 2, 3. After that, you start flipping coins with that wild card stuff.
So
you watch out for that Central Division, Dino.
On one side, it's kind of suggesting, well, you know, our division maybe isn't the strongest division in hockey, so let's make sure we get one of the top three spots here, because then we don't need to worry about anything else. We don't need to worry about the Central Division.
Man, you keep eyes on that Central
Division. Don't worry about the St. Louis Blues or the Winnipeg Jets. Focus on Vegas. Focus on Edmonton. That's
our division. Our division.
Manji, what the is wrong with you? I don't want to talk to you about Nashville. Smarten up.
Get out of here.
How can you be so good at hockey and so stupid at the same time? I'm Manj. Sure that's what he's...
That's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like we're in the room. This is amazing accent.
That's my Sutter impression.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Sounds just like him.
But he's not wrong. If you look at the top teams in the Central, chances are, yeah, they're...
You want to go into Colorado for a series?
No.
You want to go face Minnesota, the circus?
No.
You want to go play the Blues, a billion players deep?
Well, and the thing, but you still got to get in. You got to have more points than the fourth place team in that division, and that could be a
Nashville's looking good. Winnipeg is not. I think they lost the Oilers. That's a bad team.
Yeah. There you go.
Once they get Pavelski from Dallas, they'll be fine.
Maybe that's why Mangiapane's better on the road, because he doesn't have to be around Daryl as much. Right? Man, Daryl was just screaming at me. I looked at him like, oh, how are we out of the playoffs? And then he just ripped me for about 20 minutes.
Mange, put down the scissors. What are you doing? You cutting out the standings of the paper? It's out of here.
Let's do some show picks. NFL weekend. Let's do some picks. Now, we're not going to force it. We didn't force it last week. Who was off? Because I think we were 3-0.
We were
3-0.
Three team picks.
But I think three of us liked the Niners.
I was a little leery about New England because we said, oh, we can't bet against Brady. Well, I kind of felt that way about Belichick. Yeah. I was wrong. Very wrong.
Wash it out.
It's fine. We just need to look for consensus somewhere.
We like the Niners. Rhett was like, I don't know, kind of like Dak Attack, home team, Cowboys. All right. If it's not
fine.
If it's not all for one, one for all, then give it the heave-ho. Game number one, Saturday, 2:30 kickoff. The Cincinnati Bengals head into Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans. Derek Henry has been cleared to play in this football game.
He's going to play in this football game, dude.
Now, the question I have is, and I asked it to Diggison yesterday, is it just the natural that this guy's going to come in and be at peak form? Is there not going to be some rust? Are you just going to slot this guy in and, oh, look, he hasn't missed a beat.
What the is he going to look like? Manch.
Derrick Henry ain't walking through. Actually, yes, he is. He is walking through that door. And he's a goddamn beast.
Those big poo dreads. Look out.
That's right. He's a fucking monster, this guy.
It's huge.
Then you got Tannehill.
So Titans.
Now, Dickinson yesterday, he kind of liked the Bills. He likes their defense. You've got a good run
Bengals.
Game. Yeah, he kind of liked the Bengals. What did I say?
Bills.
It's a B. Riley, let's start with you. I'm going to write this down.
No, these are against the spread, so it's important we have the correct line.
All right,
all right. Dean, you lay it out to us. You've told us about...
Now, the thing about these lines,
guys... Big Derrick Henry, walk through that door.
Fellas. These lines can move. All we can do is take what's in front of us
That's correct, yes.
It's hour two of the show. On a Friday. Right now, the Tennessee Titans are 3.5-point favorites. A smidge over a field goal. So, Vegas, what are they saying to you? What are they saying? A little extra point. Ooh, too much. I better take the Bengals? Or what's... Riley? Titans minus 3.5, or are you taking the Bengals and the points?
Tell you what, boys. I am a Burrow believer, and I am taking the points for the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend.
It's an incredibly bold and amazing pick. I'm with them. I will take those points, as scary as that may be.
Riley, Cincy. Pinder, Cincy. Warner. And listen, I don't want you to feel guilty if you feel like you're going to sewer.
You can't force
this. This is a hard pick.
It is a hard pick.
I don't know what that Tennessee's going to do.
Don't kowtow to these two donkeys just to try and fit in. I want you to give us the pick.
These two day drinking.
What's the points again? Sorry, give me the points.
Three and a half.
Give me the points.
Minus 3.5 Tennessee at home.
I'll take the points. So.
All right. So you're taking the points. So you're with us in Cincinnati.
Yes. So you're taking Cincy.
Plus 3.5.
Tennessee could still win, but Cincy can keep it tight.
Man, I'm sorry, but I have to take the Titans at home.
That's fine. We're not forcing it.
What's that, Rhett?
It's not a bad pick.
Okay.
Honestly, that line, like if it was 2.5, I feel like I'm with you. As weird as that sounds, it's that close.
I think it's one of those things that Henry is good. I don't think he's going for 200. But you know what happens? Sometimes you forget. Why did Tennessee have the bye? Oh, because they're really good.
Because they're really good. Yeah. They can win with a field goal at the last moment. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. But I think I'm going to take the Titans. I'm going to give away the 3.5. So no show pick. The second game. Aaron Rodgers, who apparently is hated by everybody. I mean, Dave Dickinson doesn't like him. Dave likes everybody.
Yeah, that was a surprise to hear.
And he's a quarterback.
Probably would get along fine with folks in Montana, both big open spaces.
You'd think. The Niners went in and just put the boots to the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, Jarrah. He saw his eyes all bloodshot. No, he was crying.
Almost blew it.
The guy almost blew it. I mean, I don't know.
Sure, that's for sure. But end, okay.
Make the right call there. But anyway, they are tough. They are mean. Garoppolo's got a bit of a shoulder thing. You know, he's got that
thumb thing in there as well. Less than a hundo. He can play, though.
The Packers, you said no Valdez Scantling, but they're getting some
help on Jair Alexander. Should be able to go.
They've had Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari.
He's going to be back.
He's back.
It's a lot of points. It's the Packers at home. They, too, off the bye, -5.5. Riley, where are you going?
I'm taking the Packers and the points. I don't think Jimmy G is going to be able to go head-to-head with Aaron Rodgers. And Debo's good, but he's not Devontae Adams good. And that is why I think the Packers win by at least a touchdown.
I'm with Pack.
Pack, Pack, Pack.
Dean?
It's a pack attack.
Yes!
Yes!
It's a show pick. We got a team pick.
Folks.
The frozen tundra at Lambeau Field. -12 at kickoff, it looks like. Oh, yes, 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 yes.
I just don't like Jimmy Graps. And I know that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't
just matter. He's a game
manager. Dislike him. He's just not Aaron Rodgers, guys. He sure isn't.
He's a game manager. You know what what game managers are? Average to below average quarterbacks. Yeah. But he's a game manager.
So he's not good. Yeah.
So he's not very good
not
then. All right.
Okay.
No, I'll take probably best quarterback, Tom Brady. Yeah, but right
and
now.
And Lambeau.
Unless they give Deebo Samuel like 60 snaps.
Well, and they might.
I mean, when they weren't giving him the ball and they were putting it in Jimmy's hands, that's how the Cowboys got back into that game.
Jimmy.
To Sunday, the Los Angeles Rams.
Sunday.
What an absolute snot bubbling they laid on Arizona.
Walloped
should them. Be embarrassed. Kyler Murray.
Kyler, what are you doing? Stop looking at the standings.
What are you doing outside? Get back inside. Look in the mirror. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Embarrassing.
So the Rams looked really good.
Not embarrassing. That was Kyler.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams looked really good. So what was it? Was it because Arizona was so awful? Did Arizona look awful because the Rams were so good?
Both things could be true, Dean.
Now, here's the thing. My understanding is Stafford is still the quarterback for the Rams, and he is still prone to interceptions, even though he didn't throw one last week, and it cost me $250 because he'd thrown 7 picks in the previous 3 games.
$250?
All he needed to do was throw
over
0.5 of an interception, and I'd have won $250. But by all means, play it safe. Congrats on your first playoff win.
Game manager.
Just a great game manager.
Yeah, boy, did he manage throwing 4 touchdowns? That was impressive.
Jesus. The Buccaneers, meanwhile, they are at home.
Are they at home, Dean?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
And you talk about snot bubbling. Philadelphia. I mean, you got to check yourself.
Before.
You wreck yourself.
That's right.
Is anyone betting against Tom Brady? -2.5 under a field goal. Buccaneers at home against the Rams. Riley?
Got one rule in my household. Boom. We don't bet against Tom in the playoffs. And I'm taking Tom Brady and the Bucs to meet that spread and beat that spread. There's no way Matt Stafford does what he did against Arizona's D to that Tampa D.
I like the Rams here, like Stephen Brunt, because I'd be an idiot if I had any other justification, but Stephen Brunt said it, so I'm with him. I think there's some missing pieces in Tampa. It's not the no Godwin, no Antonio Brown. Yeah, there's still other guys to catch ball and still Tom, but if our boy Aaron Donald can disrupt things at the line of scrimmage and they can do to old man Tom half of what they did to Kyler Murray, big trouble for the Bucks, Bruin. Bye.
Yabba-dabba-doo. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, it's not all about Matt Stafford, and he might not be the best quarterback that's playing on that day, but their defense is going to get into Tom Brady's face and make him upset, and that's the difference. Mr. Aaron Donald, go get him. I am a L.A. fan because I also love the stadium. It's wonderful.
Have you been there?
That new, that it's kind of like it's open, but it's not.
So far, yeah. So you've not been there, but you love it?
I'm going
okay. Are you going to Super Bowl? Good for you. Mm-hmm. I am also on the Rams here, +2.5. I mean, Keyshawn Vaughn and Giovanni Bernard. I don't know. Are they getting Fournette back? It's average back there with those. This feels like the Rams here, and I don't like Stafford, as you can tell. And I don't like going against Brady, but I mean, Akers came back, and he was a monster for them. Mm-hmm. Plus, Cup.
A lot of weapons. They can make plays on defense. Bucks barely beat the Jets.
Rams +2.5. So, Riley, you're the odd man out.
That's okay, Riley.
No pressure. I mean, you can change your opinion.
Yeah, no. All right. Can't do it.
And house rule.
This is going to be a hard one. Because, you know, we don't want any hurt feelings or someone throwing pan scramblers at everybody. But the Buffalo Bills are in Kansas City.
I've never even thought about what's going to happen at the house if they lose.
Well, you don't have to.
I don't think the shoveler likes me to begin with, and now
it's
this.
It's not an option.
How could she, after all the things you've said on the air about her?
Lovely lady.
The Buffalo Bills. Stephen Brunt says, wonderful. Team of destiny, perhaps. Kansas City Chiefs, we know what they are. We know how good they are. We saw it against Pittsburgh. It took a while, but then all of a sudden, 5 touchdowns in 11 and a half minutes a game. Yeah, they can strut. Kansas City at home against the Bills, -1.5. Not often you get the Chiefs at home at a -1.5. The Bills put a throttling on Bill Belichick.
Is that right?
Riley, let's start us off.
I'm going through a table on Sunday. I'm taking the Bills and the points and the Bills to win outright.
Mama!
Wait. Before you go through the table, I want you to do all your fast food joint stuff. Put those bags on that table and go through both.
It's a waste of food.
Well, I'll be doing it in your
backyard.
No, eat it.
Just the bags.
He's made of money, right?
He'll poop himself.
I'll do it in your backyard.
Here's the thing. It's either going to have to be a really flimsy table because there's not much of you, or somebody's going to have to put you through it with extreme force.
You got a balsa wood table hanging around anywhere?
Like, are we... How are we power bombing you through this table?
Hey guys, I found some styrofoam from some packing, and we just built a table
for
Riley.
One of those TV trays that you had back in the day. All right, so Bills +1.5. Pinder.
Well, if Riley's going through a table, I'm gonna have to shotgun a beer and pile drive him through one.
I don't feel like this is the strategy we should be
Bills
using.
Bills Mafia.
All right, I'll leave retro for the end because I also believe it's the Buffalo Bills' time. I think the Bills are going to win this thing, and it's going to be an unbelievable football game. Bills, +1.5. Now, Rhett, no pressure. We could possibly have
the pressure.
Another show pick here.
Team
if
pick.
We're unanimous.
What are the points?
1.5, Kansas City.
What are the points?
Oh, I wish it was 2.5. I mean...
I know you're really on the fence.
I would like more points. Come on! It is the Josh Allen train, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills! Nobody circles the wagons, Rhett. And I mean nobody.
There you go.
The Buffalo Bills.
4 games, 2 show picks. We have Green Bay -5.5, the Bills +1.5. Can I have the Rams? Anyway, you know what? We're close to being unanimous.
Yeah, there are only a couple outliers.
I'm screwing you guys on the Cincy game, and Riley's odd man out on the other game. But either way, those are two unanimous picks. Run, don't walk to your nearest online game book, whatever you do with your thing. Get it. I'm going to check these lines one more time. I'm going to give it a refresh here just to make sure. It's still 1.5, Rhett, so you still want to stay on the Bills? You're good with that?
It's
then?
Tight, but yeah, I'll think
okay, I'm... there you have it. We'll come back.
You guys want to do tattoos on Sunday?
The homemade ones with the sewing machine, or what are we talking about here? You got some jailhouse tats?
Some spare Bic pens stuff laying around? Or yeah. Okay, good.
How young's too young? The twins are 6. Can we get one for them?
Well, we'll just do a little one on them.
Yeah, okay.
All right, fair enough. Coming right back,
so
hour 3.
Teardrops.
Kirk Muller. George Russick, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.